Good morning, everyone. I just want to say, you know, by the authority of God's word in the name of Jesus, that you will hear his word today and that you will, so to speak, leave this gathering, virtual gathering, stronger, more filled with faith than you were when you came, if that's the right word. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. So it's time. If you've ever had as a child an image of Jesus, who he was, his heart, what it was like, or maybe not as a child growing up, it's time. Just dial that up right now. Dial it up. This is the time. I believe he wants this to be our finest hour. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is your time. It's my time. You'll see. You'll see. So I texted Ryan, you know, and I said, we're going to set aside our teaching on the book of James in order to talk about the situation that we find ourselves in. So we are setting aside our series in James. And I just want to share with you from my heart the things that God has been speaking to me. So here's some background. I, as you know, work in a retirement community, and in many ways, it's a full-time job. It's gotten more full-time. It's sort of ground zero. And as you can imagine, many people are afraid. And the Lord has just been speaking to my heart the same thing that he spoke to me back when I first became a Christian. Can you smile? Can you smile? Yeah, I can smile. Okay, I want you to smile. So picture this. There's 9 buildings, over 1,000 people, and there's 2 common areas. And so how it works is the 9 buildings are attached, so half of them are attached to one clubhouse and half of them are attached to another. And the clubhouse circular drives, that's where all the mail comes in. That's where all the medicines come in. That's where all the groceries come in. Children saying, I got to get some, you know, tortillas to my mom, whatever they're saying. And so all of us who are on staff are being recruited to man the front doors, not let anyone in who doesn't have a badge or an ID bracelet, and deliver all this stuff, deliver all the packages. So in this particular occasion, I was doing my share. I had the duty that day, and delivery comes, and it's a pharmaceutical bag. You can see by the logo on the bag, and it's filled with prescription drugs, and it's got the name and the resident address on the bag. So I did what I was told to do. I told the front desk, you know, so and so is going to be here. I need to go and deliver this bag. So I'm walking down the hall towards one of the resident buildings, and one of the residents. So I'm looking at this bag, and one of the residents says, "Dominic, what do you got there?" I said, "Alan, it's come to this. I'm a drug runner, a drug runner." And he burst out laughing. And you have to understand, everybody's having this dour look on their face, and they're walking the halls, and there's this cloud. And even when he said to me, "What are you doing?" And I told him, and he burst, that just came out, and burst out laughing. And all the other people that heard started laughing. And I thought, that's what the Lord said. Can you smile? Can you smile? I said, it's come to this. Wait till my wife hears about it, right? I just want to encourage you. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You and I will be far better off on the other side of this than we were when we came in. We're going to be who we say we are and who we believe ourselves to be. Why? Because I have the Word of God. Listen, let's go ahead. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 21. Remember, we're looking at Jesus. You're looking at Jesus. I am. The way you looked at him when you first met him. And just in your mind's eye, you are walking with him. And he's answering your questions. And this is what he's saying. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. He came to take the punishment that you and I deserve for our sins. And his blood on the cross was payment for every sin, past, present, and future, that we ever have or ever will commit. We are saved by grace, by favor, by something we do not deserve. And then he rose on the third day from death so that death would be conquered. And we also could receive life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. They that believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. I will raise them up on the last day. He rose that we would also live with him forever in heaven. While he was here on earth, walking with his disciples, and now this morning, that includes you and I, in our mind's eye, he was honest with us, wasn't he? Luke 21, some of his disciples were remarking about the temple, adorned with beautiful stones. But Jesus says, as for what you see, the time will come when not one stone will be left upon another. He's speaking of the time of his second coming, that he's going to come back and he will fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament and cause the earth to be in peace and rule the world with his people. That's the promise. And some of the ways that he said here, we would know that that's going to come true, is happening before our eyes today. Today, on the news, in front of your eyes, in front of my eyes, where I go to work every day. Listen to this. Rabbi, when will these things happen? What will be the sign that it will take place? I'm going to. I don't have time to go through all of it. He said to them, nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. Go ahead and you can Google pestilences. That is the word for plagues. Virulent, deadly plagues. In diverse places. And fearful events and great signs in the heavens. He says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you'll know its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, for this is a time of punishment. And how bad it will be for those who are pregnant in those days. There will be great distress on this land and wrath upon this people. Remember, he wept over Jerusalem. He took no pleasure in these things. But in 70 AD, the Romans did invade Jerusalem. And the Jewish people were scattered. It's called the diaspora. They will be scattered into all nations. They will fall by the sword. And they will be taken prisoner. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. Gentiles means people who are not Jewish. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So the Jewish people were scattered and away from Jerusalem from 70 AD to 1967. When Moshe Dayan and his army announced that they had retaken the Temple Mount. Be careful that your hearts be not weighed down with dissipation. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom is near. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So Kim and I were talking. People don't want to know just what do I need to know. They want to know what do I need to do. Here it is. This is your lucky day. When you see these things begin to take place, stand up. Lift up your heads. In the original language, this means be confident. Be strong. Stand up. That's what that means. And lift up your heads means watch. Because we're getting close. Did you notice that list that I read? Remember the wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. There's been, one in Utah 2 days ago, one in Croatia, this morning? Earthquakes. But the plague thing was kind of missing, wasn't it? Not anymore. When you see these things begin to happen, stand up. Lift up your heads. Smile. Smile. They need to see you smiling. They need to see you. I know, Carl, this is going to be hard for you. But, you know, we need to kind of lift the spirits up a little bit. Okay. Just a special word out there for Carl. Lift it, because your redemption draws nigh. That's not a request. That's a command from Commander Jesus. Because he said, you know, it's like we're in a war. Now, some of you, I'm talking to some of you who have been veterans. You know, when President Nixon declared the end of the draft, I passed right through that window. I would have gone to Vietnam, but I didn't, just in that little space. But some of you have then you know what I'm talking about. When you're in a war, it's not so much that you, some of you maybe saw the movie Midway. And the idea, the Bible says that you know, no soldier that is at war cares about the things of this life, but only the commander that sent him, or words to that effect. So the idea is, you know, I'm gonna take you through some other scriptures to have faith. But why? Why do you want to not get sick? Ask yourself that question. If you get sick, why do you want to survive? Why? For you? So if you saw Midway, right, there's guys that got shot down, you know. And what do they want to do? You saw the movie. Get back in another plane. Get back in the war. Why? Because there's work to be done. There's ground to be taken. We've got to win this thing. There's people to protect back home. Why do you want to not get sick? Or if you get sick, why do you want to survive? Because there's work to be done. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about other people. You know, scripturally, it's not. Jesus said, you know, he considered other people more important than himself. You know, people stop me in the hall and they say, Dominic, I'm too old now. My kids don't see me. Nobody cares. What does it matter if I live or die? What if I die? You know, Mike, in that type of situation, I'm paraphrasing. The conversation usually goes a little longer, but I'm paraphrasing. What if I die? You know what I basically say? What if I die? Well, you're not going to die. Well, you don't know that. What if I die? Well, God won't let you die. Well, why not? Because people need you. Well, you think people don't need you? You're the only ones who can show your children what it looks like to age with dignity and with courage. There's nobody else to tell them and show them except for you. There's one more assignment for you. In fact, I need to see it. We're all on the same journey. I'll be where you are. Why don't you show me? Show me how it's done. It's not about us. It's not about you. Really, settle it in your mind. Why do I not want to get sick? I promise you, if you settle that in your mind by saying, because there's people that are lost and they need to hear about Jesus, and I want to be a part of a local church that is trying to have other people come to Jesus, whether in a virtual, nobody's in the seats, on the internet, or just on the street, or in a nursing home. There's more people to come to Jesus. That's why I don't want to be sick. If you get your mind there, if you wrap your mind around that, you won't be scared. What if I get sick? What, you know, okay, why do you want to get well? Why are we all going to want to gather around you and pray this thing through and make sure you get well? Why? For you? Well, I mean, we want you to get well. But you know what I'm saying. It's not about you. If you're here virtually this morning and you're scared to death. I see this every day. Scared to death. In terror. They're in their rooms and their children can no longer come in. And normally they're brought food. What if I fall down? What if something happens? And then they say, I don't even know how to work a microwave. You all are delivering food to us. I don't know how to work the microwave. And I say, fine, you can first of all eat it cold. That's what I do. But we'll help you. We'll work the microwave. It's not about the microwave. It's going to be all right. You're not in this by yourself. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to smile. By the authority of the word of God, stand up, lift up your head. I command you to smile. And the next time you're afraid, you just get to, I'm going to read you some stuff. And it's, okay, no, I've heard that before. Oh, really? Well, maybe we all need to hear it again. Drive those thoughts, those doubts out of your brain. Not for you, but for those who need you, that you know about, and those who need you, who you don't even see, who you have not even met yet. So you all know the story, right? Jesus, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And so Satan tempted him. And then Satan did us all a big favor. Did you know that? Why do I say that? Well, because every time Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus came back with, it is written. For example, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So there you have it. God, by his wisdom, by his grace, by his mercy, has given us permission to consider this book to be a contract. We can stand on this word, not because the ink on the page has power by itself, no, but because the one who's giving you this word is saying, guess what? I have good news for you. Jesus Christ has died for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Death is dealt with. But in the meantime, while you're still on this earth, while you're still in the war, while you're still a soldier, even if you get shot down, you're going to get back in another plane, and you're going to use this word as your contract when Satan comes after you. And Jesus demonstrated that. And do you know what Satan did that did us a favor? He let the cat out of the bag. He revealed what might be the most hated scripture in the corridors of hell that there is in this word. You know what Satan said? He tried to trick Jesus. Remember what he said? Well, okay. So why don't you jump off the pinnacle of the temple? Because after all, it is written, he'll give his angels charge over thee and keep thee from lest thy cast thy foot against a stone. And Jesus basically said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, basically what he was saying is, yeah, Satan, that's for when trouble comes looking for you. That's not to give you permission for you to look for trouble. So trouble's come looking for you. The plague's come looking for you. You can go and say, it is written. And what scripture should you use? It is written. You want to get Satan really mad? You go to the one he quoted. Satan quoted Psalm 91. So here's the homework assignment. In fact, find it on the NIV. Go online, something. Just go ahead. If you're here, NIV, Psalm 91. If you don't have an NIV, just so we're on the quote-unquote same page, Psalm 91. This week, I want you to read it every day. That's your assignment. Read Psalm 91 every single day.
If I was a doctor and gave you a pill and told you to take it every day, you would take it, right? Come on now. So now I'm telling you, Dr. Jesus, the great physician, is saying, okay, you know what happened there in the wilderness with Satan? Go to Psalm 91 and read it every day. Guess what it says? This is why Satan, especially in these days, hates this psalm. They that dwell in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. In Him will I trust. You will not fear the terror of night, verse 5, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my hand aside, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you, for He will command His angels charge over you to guard your ways, He will lift up in your hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. Verse 14, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. And this is what it says in verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. If you're reading that psalm this week, any piece of it speaks to you, memorize that piece and speak it. Remember Jesus said, speak to the mountain? Remember that? We talked about why is something special when you speak. Because Jesus, in the functionality of God, 3 and 1 and 1 and 3, he is the command, the expression, the spoken. He is the Word made flesh. And so He gives us His Spirit. And so now we're supposed to function that same way. It's not hocus pocus. It's a command. If you say to this mountain, then you're acting like me. That's what He's saying. That's basically what He's saying. It's not you that has any power. It's Him that gives you that power. So you know what? Here, just... That's what it says. Read Psalm 91. That's your assignment. If anything kind of jumps out at you, then memorize it and speak it. Is that clear? You know, think about it. Do you blame God for shaking things up? Do you blame God for shaking things up? There's a lot more people thinking about God now than there was 2 weeks ago in the whole world. And that's where you and I get to smile. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.